Welcome back to the Blank Canvas. In studio with Diana Sands is Dr. Barkey, the new executive director at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, your favorite museum, and Dawn Davies, who is here talking about her amazing work in Love and Responsibility to the Dawn Davies Collection of Art. Welcome back.
Thank you, Di. And I want to follow up with a little bit about the whole educational piece of your collection, because I'm just thinking how dynamic that is. The fact that you're tapping into students who are really exploring, taking risks, and their lecturers, which are also kind of guiding them, that's sort of like this whole community of artists and art emerging artists that you were sort of looking at. And I'm wondering, too, if that's possibly where the relationship started, because education kind of allows you in, whereas, you know, when you go to a gallery, you often don't even meet the artist. He or she may not even be there. Did the university or then the College of the Bahamas, did it provide a doorway or a portal into meeting and getting to know and developing relationships with artists? And tell me about some of those that happened.
Well, to some extent, you know, it's so long ago now, of course. It was last century, as a matter of fact.
True.
Everything was last century. I can't remember when I first started following people at COB, but I recall going to a number of small exhibitions in their art education space, which was in Block D, I don't mm-hmm. recall now, upstairs. Mm-hmm. And it was like a two-room facility where the classes were held, and they would have a number of exhibitions.
Right.
And so I started going there, and over time I met probably Stan Burnside and later on Antonius Roberts and John Cox. Mm-hmm. And then the Pop-Up Studios was also another incubator in a way for mm-hmm. young artists. And that was hugely, I think, beneficial both to artists and to the collecting community, the work that was done there. I'm sorry that it's not now functioning, but hopefully it will come back to life at some point. But the College of the Bahamas had a number of young students that seemed to work with Pop-Up. There was a Pop-Up Junior residential prize every mm-hmm. year for a couple of students. And many of them have gone on to have substantial careers. I'm just thinking about all the people that I've met at COB, and it's frankly they're all in my book.
It's an amazing there's an amazing group there, and it's quite large.
Yes.
Are there any examples of people you started a relationship with as a student that then continued on into their professional career that you could talk about?
Do you mean people like the cover of the book, like LeVar Monroe, or? Mm-hmm. My dear friend Tavares
Strand.
Yes, mm-hmm. and people like that. Yes, and you know there have been a number of other Bahamians who have established careers abroad, like Lillian Blades. Mm-hmm. She came out of COB, and Blue Curry, who's working in based now in London, I believe, and currently has an exhibition at the Tate. I mean, these are all extremely impressive. Mm-hmm. Things. Jeffrey Maris is going from strength to strength. Some of the ladies that are hugely important these days are Gio Swaby and Sydney Colby, mm-hmm. and there's many others that are walking in their footsteps. So mm-hmm. it's a very exciting time for what's happening with Bahamian artists, mm-hmm. and being able to step outside of the confines of the Bahamas, where, you know, they're so limited in so many ways. And I think the establishment of some formal galleries is also helping to promote Bahamian art.
Yes, that's a very good point. It is very impressive that a country as small as the Bahamas has these artists that are finding success in the most competitive areas of the world and being exhibited in some of the finest and most influential galleries around, mm-hmm. And in a range of ages too. As you mentioned, a range of people. Some are more accomplished artists. Others are really just starting, and yet they're all finding their place out in the world in general. I mean, in a way, you did give them their start, because being published in the book, in the first book and the second book, is a way of getting your work out there. So as people buy the book and look at it, you know, they're getting to know, you're sort of showing a portfolio of Bahamian art. So I know that many artists have actually bought the book from our store because for them, this is a portfolio piece, and they can show they've been published. that can show their work in this book along with other well-known artists, because you're being associated with that whole group as well. So the book itself, it's interesting, the book itself has this value just for an artist, you know, beyond just the fact of being in the collection.
Well, to be honest, I'd never thought of it that way, but that certainly pleases me if that is the case.
But it also can be considered more of a textbook for someone that's starting, that's new, because you have an opportunity to have snapshots at different eras of Bahamian art. And now, with the second volume, as with all the depth behind it, it is, if you're interested in art, if you're a connoisseur, a novice, you're just studying, this is something you definitely should have both volumes on your bookshelf.
Well, thank you very much, Di, for that recommendation. I hope everyone is listening.
Well, that's kind of the flip side of the education, because interesting that you got involved with COE and the educational, you know, community. And then now, these two books, I can see them being used in a Bahamian art history course. They would be the textbooks for it. So it's very interesting how you started there and then are now contributing back to that whole academic discipline. That's really what's happened.
Well, if that is the case, I'm very pleased. I should give credit to the artists who have sort of brought me along in a way to appreciate a much broader style of art. Because, you know, as I say, originally I only liked fairly formal, pretty things, or things that brought the Bahamian landscape and seascape into my home. But after a while, I realized how limiting that was. And, you know, it was John Cox, I think, who got me excited in his style of art.
Okay.
And now I have a house full of his.
You do, yes. But how did that happen? How did he interest you? That's a big thing for people. So, because many people just stay stuck in kind of that first level of what they like, or narrative work, because it's easier to understand.
Exactly.
And then they never make the jump to understand outside those boundaries. What do you think it was that triggered that?
Well, I don't know, but you know, when I see an abstract painting, I look at it and I try to make something of it. It's a tree or a plane or a bird or a stage with this is the audience, these are the speakers, these are the lights. You know, I try to, in my mind, foolishly, create, make it into something that it's patently not. But that gives me pleasure. So sometimes you just look, sometimes you just look at it and it's just color and the way color is made on the canvas or paper or whatever the media, whatever they're using. Like, for instance, Kendall Hanna, who is the master of masters, his work, when I the first thing I bought of his actually was about six self-portraits. He's done over time quite a number of self-portraits. I think that's when he was at home by himself, and obviously the instinct to paint was huge. And now, even when he's not as well as he used to be, is still painting almost from his bed, actually. He has small canvases and some larger ones that he's worked on as well.
That's a committed artist.
Artist, absolutely. So, and his work is amazing. I mean, he stands tall among our Bahamian artists.
It's interesting your comment about the colors. I think that is one thing that some people have trouble accepting, is just that you can look at an artwork for what it actually is. It doesn't necessarily have to have some other meaning, but the materials itself have meaning. So the color, the way they combine, the composition, the way the textures and so on, all that has beauty and aesthetic meaning all by itself. You don't have to have another meaning layered on top. And I think you made that sort of discovery as you worked with John Cox. So we have John Cox to thank for helping.
Oh, absolutely. and you know, the other thing I Chantal Bethel has done some interesting things with the royal palm branches. I think everyone is always experimenting, not always, but from time to time experimenting with different methods of portraying their art and their sensibility.
Mm-hmm. Have you noticed any trends? I mean, one thing that you have is you have a very long perspective. You know, you have from when you first started collecting all the way to today, as you said, you're still collecting. Have you noticed any trends that stand out to you as you look at the younger artists coming up, things that you see, commonalities that maybe compare with what where you started, you know, several decades ago?
I do have a long backside. Certainly, I see fewer what I would call pretty paintings.
Okay.
I think young artists are much more expressing themselves in whatever medium pleases them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this much more abstract work or work that's being manipulated in some way or the other. A lot of collage.
Mm-hmm.
Fair amount of photography now, which at the very beginning I did not have in my collection.
I'm
now
gonna ask you about that.
Yes, I thought you might. In fact, one day, but Dr. Bakke, I'd like to have one of yours.
Well, I hope you can. Well, let's talk about photography because you brought it up.
Mm-hmm.
You brought it up, so
yes, I did.
I did notice when I first looked at Reverence, Love and Responsibility, the first volume, that there was very little photography. And then I did notice in the new one, there's actually a very strong section and quite a variety. You have some work, Alessandro Sarno, Lynn Perotti, Roland Rose, and they're all very different photographers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Roland Rose, very traditional, kind of like an Ansel Adams of the Bahamas sort of approach.
Right.
And Alessandro, more of a sort of street and a little bit romantic in his approach. And then, of course, Perotti is more montage and collage, as you were mentioning.
Well, she's more a traditional artist. This was a particular body
coming
of work
in,
that
right,
she did. Yeah,
right. Using photography almost as a brush, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm curious what attracted you. Well, first of all, why have you opened up to photography all of a sudden? Is that a new discovery, or did you just like those photographs in particular?
I liked those photographs in particular.
Okay.
But I you did mention Roland Rose, and of course I would like to thank him. As you know, he's the late Roland Rose, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. He died last year.
Just last year, right?
In June, mm-hmm. That's right, yes. He was my partner in crime on all of my books. There is another one, by the way. I did, in between the two volumes of Love and Responsibility,
right.
I did a book on tablescapes, which was about entertaining in one's own home with mm-hmm. all of the things in one's home and garden. But Roland was the photographer on the three of the books. So mm-hmm. we had a wonderful friendship. Also, I did collect a number of his very meaningful photographs that were taken in the early, probably 40s and 50s, mm-hmm. that depicted life as it was then.
Mm-hmm.
But he was an extraordinary photographer, I think, mm-hmm. He started when he was 12. I believe there's going to be an exhibition of his at the Diagadra Art Foundation to coincide with his birthday later this month. And he's also has a substantial amount of work on display and available for sale at The Current mm-hmm. at Bahama.
Mm-hmm.
But his work is quite unique in terms of what's available mm-hmm. of those early days.
Right. He really captured those times and also a range of different types of people, too. I mean, he really, all of Bahamian society, really, he has parts of that in his portfolio of work.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have conversations about photography?
We did. I used to tease him because I think his early photographs were so meaningfully portrayed life as it was then. And then in later years, he seemed to like pretty things. And I used to tease him about there being so many photographs of poncianas and birds and flowers. But that was also part of his interest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. And also your book, I should mention the Tablescapes book is, I also have that book. I'm now a collector of your books. But that book is quite interesting also because you express your creativity there. Whereas in your collection, you're expressing your creativity through your selection of work, of course, the layout of the book and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But in Tablescapes, you know, you're directly working with that. Did you find yourself, when you're doing Tablescapes or even doing some of the items are photographed there, did you find yourself looking back at styles of art or combinations of color, that sort of thing?
No, it had more to do with combinations of colors and, you know, and themes and mm-hmm. and looking also at what was in my various cupboards, you know, the flatware or the napkins or placemats or china or whatever that I wanted to group together. But sometimes a theme would be around flowers or it might be around shells or it might be around fish. And I could go on and on and on, but we're here to talk about
Yes. Thank you. Well, thank you for including photography. I'm very glad you included in the second one. That's very nice to have such a big section on it.
Well, we're going to take another break, but please don't forget to check out our website, www.nagv.org.bs. Don't forget to visit your favorite museum. It's free to Bahamians and local residents. See you in a few.